Proverbs chapter 3, if you go there. On Wednesday evenings, we've been going through the book of Proverbs in a series that I've entitled Wisdom from Above. And my heart's burden for myself is through everything that's going on that you and I continue to apply our heart to God's wisdom. Amen. We need it.
Amen.
There's so many things that are clamoring for our attention and trying to get our minds to go in different directions. And we need God and His Word.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, we want to go down to verse 21. I know we talked about chastening, that correcting of the Lord, in verses 11 and 12. And then from verses 13 all the way down to 20, it's talking about the importance of wisdom. But then in verse 21, it's still on the subject of wisdom. Notice we read, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes." What are the them? "Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then that shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence,
Amen.
And shall keep thy foot from being taken."
Amen.
Let's stop there and let's pray. I hope you have a sheet tonight, a handout sheet. If you don't, we'll get maybe the ushers. Does anybody need one? A handout sheet. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray as I preach the message that I trust you've led me to preach, that you'd please help me tonight.
Yes.
Lord, we need to hear from heaven. Your sheep need food, spiritual food, the food of thy word. And so may your word tonight have free course, and may we receive it as it is in truth, the word of God.
Amen.
So please may our eyes be upon thee this evening. Fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. And Lord, we recognize again that without you, we can do nothing.
Amen.
I cannot preach without thee. We cannot listen without thee. So please help us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. There was one word that I would use to describe God's people for the past year and a half. One of the words we could, I'm sure you have your choice of words as well, but one of the words that I would choose would be the word distracted.
Amen.
Distracted.
Right.
And I'm including myself in this. We've been so distracted, haven't we?
Amen.
Absolutely distracted. One preacher who travels a country preaching made the following statement. He said this, quote, "I go from church to church, and for the past year, you just can't get people's minds on the Lord. Between the virus and the lockdown, the election, after the election, the mandates, I'll add to that the riots and all the craziness in cities across our nation. Our attention is on so many other things. It's hard to get people to even pay attention in service anymore. We're way out there and over here and over there because everything that's going on." Back to the quote. God's people are not looking to Calvary. They're not looking to Jesus. And that's true. You see, I believe many of us have forgotten as believers, we're not of this world.
Amen.
We sing, "This world is not my home," because it is not our home.
Amen.
We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And as believers, we are to live by faith.
Amen.
And not by sight.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen."
Amen.
Is that true? It's supposed to be.
Amen.
"For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
Praise the Lord.
That's what we're supposed to be looking at, eternal things. Not temporal things. Four times in the Bible, we are told that the just believers, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
By faith. Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." That's God speaking.
Amen.
And the only way to live by faith is for us as believers to apply God's wisdom to our lives. The question is, are we? Are we? Well, there's a little test tonight to find out. How many like tests? Nobody likes tests. We'll take one tonight. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, as you see on the top of your sheet. The outworking of wisdom. That's what we have in our text. And then I want to add a question to that, as I sometimes do, and that is this. Is life getting to you? Is life getting to you? You know, one of the main topics of the book of Proverbs is the topic of wisdom. God's wisdom. And we could define God's wisdom as a two-part process. It is believing God's word and then applying it to our lives. Now, we could argue and should say, well, they go together. And they do. But somehow we seem to try to make a distinction between the two. Well, I believe that, I just don't do it. If we don't do it, we don't believe it. But wisdom is believing God's word and applying it to our lives. I hope that all of us have gotten to the place where we believe the Bible.
Amen.
That it's God's words. That the King James Bible is God's inspired words in English. Do you believe that tonight? Do I really believe that tonight? That means that you and I are holding in your hands or in your lap the very words of God Almighty. The very words of the one true and living God. The very words of the Creator of all things, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. These are His words.
Amen.
And applying wisdom begins with believing that truth, that these words here are not men's words, they're God's words. Because if you do not believe these are God's words, then you will not wholeheartedly yield yourself to them.
Right.
It'll just be another opinion to add to the pile of opinions. So wisdom is taking what God says in His Word and living it out in our lives, regardless of the circumstances that surround us.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's really simply exercising faith in God's Word. I had this old commentary on the Proverbs. It's by Charles Bridges. It's actually a reprint of it, written centuries ago. And he writes this. He says, they, speaking of God's words, they are worse than valueless if they are received as opinions. But they are of inestimable price if kept as principles.
Amen.
So what do you think about God's Word? Are they true? Are these truly God's words? You see, when we exercise faith in God's word, understand something. Miraculous things happen. God promises certain things as you and I exercise wisdom. But if we don't, then life, people, and problems will get to us. So I ask you tonight, has life gotten to you? Let's go ahead here and look at our passage and see some things about this outworking of wisdom. God gives us three things about it. Notice number one, write this down, the possibility God declares. Notice what He says in verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. As Solomon speaks to his son, what's he doing here? He's giving him a warning. He warns him to, and you and me, by the way, to do the same, to not let wisdom and discretion depart from our eyes.
Amen.
Now, we've already defined wisdom as believing God's word and applying it to our lives. But what is this discretion that he's speaking of? Discretion is defined as this, according to Webster's 1828. It is the ability to discern.
Amen.
It is that which enables a person to judge critically what is correct. Man, there's a lot of ideas out there. There's a lot of opinions out there. Everybody's got a YouTube channel. Everybody's got a blog. Everybody tweets. Except for me and probably most of us in this room. But a lot of people do. And discretion is the ability to process information properly, to see where things will lead, and to discern between what is true and what is false. And notice he says, my son, let not them, sound wisdom and discretion, depart from thine eyes. See, the only way for us to be able to do this is to be daily immersed in the Word of God.
Amen.
We need it now more than ever.
Amen.
I mean, reading it, studying it, meditating upon it every single day. Because if we do not understand, according to this verse, it is possible for wisdom and discernment to depart from us. I've seen many Christians make decisions and I'm thinking, what are they thinking? What's going on in their mind? They know what the Word of God says. They've been saved long enough. But they make foolish choices. Perhaps wisdom and discernment has departed from you. That's a problem. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, because in Hebrews chapter 5, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul, whom I believe is the penman of Hebrews, he's dealing with these Hebrew Christians, that this is exactly what had happened to them. Wisdom and discernment departed from them. Notice we read in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Notice, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Oh, they heard, but they didn't hear. How many have children in the home? You know what that means, right? They hear, but they don't hear, right? They heard the words, but they're not listening. And that's what he's saying is happening here. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Like a parent, right? With a child. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Notice, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, not just knowing what the Bible says, but putting it into practice. And it is possible for wisdom and discernment to depart from us if we do not put God's Word into practice.
Amen.
And that's exactly what's happening. We don't apply God's Word to our lives. You see, if we sit there and regularly pump into our minds large volumes of worldly philosophies and worldly views and worldly ideas, if we are taking in a steady diet of worldly movies and television shows and YouTube videos and even worldly news, understand something, it's going to affect your spirit.
Amen.
It does. And it can make us dull of hearing. Wisdom and discernment will depart from us. I mean, how many, I have to watch this area of my own life. I really do. Particularly with the year we've had. I mean, it was news from almost morning to night, figuring out what's going on. I mean, how many of us were glued to news during the pandemic? I mean, watching the numbers, looking at all the statistics. How many of us were captivated by the words of Dr. Fauci and what he said, and Dr. Rattay of Delaware? Oh, they're speaking. Everybody listen. I mean, how many of us were taking the words of the CDC as if they came from God Almighty? I mean, and we watch daily the numbers of COVID deaths and cases. Understand, those things, a steady diet of that in great volume, it affects your spirit. It doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. It affects all of us. By the way, their words were not God's words. They were their own words. I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to the news or talk to a doctor, but understand that the so-called wisdom of this world causes us to set aside the wisdom of God. Or if the wisdom of this world causes us to do things contrary to the Word of God, or if the wisdom of this world produces in me things unbecoming to a child of God, then the wisdom of this world isn't wisdom at all. It's actually harming us.
Amen.
And God's wisdom and discernment has departed from me. I remember years ago, I had visited a young man that was one of the church members when we were in Oxford. It was actually the nephew of a really good family in the church, and I had a burden for this young man, and I went to see him. The young man was in Chester County Prison. I think if I remember right, he was either in his early 20s or late teens, maybe 19 or so, and he was in prison. And so I went through all the process to go and see him, and we ended up getting in this area with a little table there, and I started to talk to him. I wanted to see if he was saved, and he said he was saved, and I was trying to talk to him about the Bible and give him some Bible principles for his life. And his oft-repeated phrase or response was this: "Well, I know that. Well, I know that. Well, I know that." And finally I said this: "Well, you may know it, but you're sitting here. So do you see somewhere there's a problem? There's a disconnect here. You may know it, but you're not applying it. He wasn't putting it into practice. That's why he was there." You see, all of us need to be careful of that. We can sit in services. We can hear preaching. Well, I know that. I heard that before. That's nothing new. Yeah. And we almost get bored with what's being said because we say we know it. But I want to ask us, are we living it?
Amen.
Is our life living what we say we know? Because it's a possibility for all of us, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how long we've been going to church, that we could lose wisdom and discernment. And not even realize where we are. We scratch our head one day and say, how in the world did I get here? That's why God says in Proverbs 3:21, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." That's a possibility that could happen to all of us.
Amen.
So I see, number one, the possibility God declares. But now I notice, secondly, number two, the promises God makes. It's in our text. It's pretty interesting what he says here. As I said, from verses 13 all the way down to 20, he's talking about the importance of wisdom. But now here from verses 22 on, God is telling us that if we do apply wisdom and discretion, that God will produce certain things in our lives.
Amen.
This is the test part of it, to see in our own hearts, am I applying God's wisdom? If so, then certain things are going to be evident. Certain things are going to be there. And I notice as we read this, look at verse 22. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So he's showing us things. If you and I apply wisdom, then there are certain things that are going to be there. Notice three things. Number one is this. Notice the perspective that God produces. The perspective. God gives us, when we apply wisdom to our lives, His wisdom, we have a certain perspective about things.
Amen.
Notice he says it will produce life. In verse 22, I see this perspective. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck.
Amen.
That's the perspective that you and I will have towards our life. What do those two things mean? Number one, write it down. Life unto thy soul. That wisdom and discernment will bring life to our soul. You ever see somebody come into church and their face looks like anything but life? Oh, they're living, but there's not a lot of life there. It's as if the weight of the world is on their shoulders. By the way, we've all been there. We've all been there. But when we're there, we're not applying God's wisdom and discernment. You see, our life will not be, when we have a biblical mindset of God's wisdom, life will not be something that we dread.
Amen.
It won't be something that we despise. It won't be something we wish were different or a drudgery or a chore. Instead, each day will be something we're looking forward to.
Praise the Lord.
And we enjoy each day.
Amen.
We have a little kick in our step, you know. You say, how can somebody live the Christian life and be happy? It's possible. We'll get to that here in a moment. Do you remember, if I can find it real quick, what Paul said in Acts chapter 20? I personally believe, if there were a few verses in the Bible, I would say were his life verse. I think Philippians 1 would be one, 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I think this is another one, Acts 20:24, where he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with
joy.
And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
Paul wanted to finish with joy. He got up each morning with a kick in his step. What's God have for me today? Man, this is exciting to live the Christian life. What town is he going to bring me to? What person is he going to bring in my path? What does God have for me today?
Praise the Lord.
Life into thy soul. That's for the perspective we have. When we apply wisdom and discernment. But then notice he says, number two, grace to thy neck. That's interesting. That's a metaphor. The idea, the phrase grace to thy neck, means to have almost as an ornament about us God's grace. Think about that. There will be a spiritual beauty about us. There will be a pleasantness about us. There will be a thread, or the thread of kindness will be through everything that we do.
Amen.
If we're applying God's wisdom and discernment. It's kind of like the Proverbs 31 woman, where we read in Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You see, people will see the Lord Jesus Christ in us if we are applying God's wisdom and discernment to our lives. You know, when I put God's word into practice, people won't get to me.
Amen.
Situations won't get to me. And circumstances won't get to me. Because God promises, notice, life to my soul and grace about my neck.
Amen.
if we apply His wisdom. So how'd you do in test number one? It's not easy these days, is it? That's why we need His wisdom.
Amen.
So we see the perspective God produces. But then I notice another thing in verse 23, after he says, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then I notice the second one is this. Notice the protection God provides. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You see, applying God's word or God's wisdom to my life and His discernment causes me to believe what the word of God says about God.
Amen.
That He protects me.
Amen.
He protects me. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen.
When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident.
Amen.
How can I be confident? I'm not confident in myself.
Amen.
I'm confident in our God. Who says, if I apply His wisdom, He is going to protect me. Psalm 56 and verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me.
Amen.
Turn back, if you would, to Psalm 91. As I was preparing this message, I wrote this psalm down. And I thought, well, I think they just heard a message on this on a couple Sundays ago. With Brother Norman, but that's all right. It fits good here. Psalm 91, notice verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, notice, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust.
Amen.
Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Do we believe that tonight?
Amen.
Do we believe tonight that nothing happens in my life unless God allows it? And by the way, if He wants something to happen in my life, it's going to happen. I can't stop it.
Amen.
And if He doesn't want something to happen in my life, it won't happen, no matter what.
Amen.
And I wonder if we believe that.
Good.
I'm not trying to shame anyone tonight. But God is our shield. Not the CDC.
Amen.
God is.
You
know, there have been people that haven't been to church in over a year. Over a year. And I want to ask, and I'm not trying to be smart, I really want an answer to this question. What needs to happen in order for you to come back? I mean, the numbers are down. The vaccine is available. You can wear a mask if you like. You can sit in a corner if you like. What are you waiting for? I don't know, really. I honestly want. What is it? What has to be done that would make you feel like, okay, it's okay? Ew, they put the hymn books back. Ew, they passed the plates tonight. Ugh! By the way, we're going to have fellowships again pretty soon. Listen, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm really not. But at some point, you have to trust God.
Amen.
Yes, yes, use wisdom, all that, common sense. But you have to trust God. You have to. He promises that He will protect us. You know, it was a long time, but I was around a lot of people that had COVID, and I didn't get it. I thought I was like Superman for a little bit there. I mean, the whole wedding, and, you know, I didn't get it. The carpet guy, I think he had it. I was next to Brother Horn that day, soul winning, and he was like, he had it, and I didn't get it. And then I got it. Guess what? God wanted me to have it. He did. So I got it. You can't stop it. At some point, we have to trust God, folks.
Amen.
So there's a perspective that He produces about life when we exercise His wisdom. There's protection that we trust in when we practice His wisdom and discernment. But then notice there's a third thing. There's a peace that He gives.
Amen.
Look at verse 24, going back to Proverbs 3. Notice He says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. When we apply His wisdom, when we trust Him and put His word into practice, He promises to give us peace.
Praise the Lord.
Where's the peace of God? Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen.
We've allowed this world to paralyze us. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law. and nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
Man, the devil was in this thing. Getting people pitting people against people. Oh, your nostrils are showing? People writing emails, report to church, that sort of thing. What in the world? What are we doing? Peace, regardless of what's going on around us. Psalm 23 and verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I remember a few years back where that verse for some reason just clicked in my mind, the visual of it. The Lord is my shepherd, right? He prepares a table in the middle of a battlefield, a banquet for us to sit there and eat. By the way, if you're fearful and nervous, you're not hungry. But he says, in the midst of your enemies, I'm going to prepare you a table.
Amen.
And we're going to be sitting there eating like nothing's going on. And that's kind of what it's like, isn't it? Craziness out there. But we can have His peace.
Amen.
Notice the two ways in our text God gives us peace. Number one is in verse 24. Here it is, write it down. God delivers us from the possibilities that enter our minds. Look what he says there. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Every preacher knows what a sleepless night's about when you got things going on that aren't fun. You do a lot of ceiling staring. But he says here, when you lie down, don't be afraid. Thou shalt lie down. Your sleep shall be sweet. You know, too many of God's people live in the what ifs. What if? What if I get COVID? What if I get cancer? What if my child gets sick? What if my spouse dies? What if I lose my job? You know, that's what we call worry. The biblical phrase is being full of care. Being filled with that turmoil. And by the way, there's a difference between being concerned and planning about something than being consumed with something. And when we apply God's wisdom and discernment and we trust Him with the protection, He gives us this peace from our own, in our own minds, all the stuff that's in there. We give it to Him. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 quickly. Matthew chapter 6. You know the passage here in the Sermon on the Mount. You don't think the Lord knew what was going to happen in 2019 and 2020 and 2021? Of course he does. He knows. It's not a surprise to him. And we still have the same assignment. And we're still to exercise the same faith. Notice verse 25, therefore I say unto you, Matthew 6:25, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Watch this. Are ye not much better than they? Do you think He doesn't care about us? He's got this under control. Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit under His stature? None of us can. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. 1 Peter 5:7 puts it this way, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen.
When we take His wisdom and apply it and believe His word, understand, He delivers us from those possibilities that enter our minds, and we can say, you know what, I'm not going to dwell on that, and we give it to God.
Amen.
I love our verse for the year. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, perhaps I don't say it enough. But thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee.
Amen.
God gives us peace. So in verse 25, we see that 24, Proverbs 3, he delivers us from the possibilities that enter our minds. But then I notice another thing he does in Proverbs chapter 3, and that is this, he sustains us through the problems of life.
Amen.
Notice, if you will, verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Notice he says, when it cometh. He gives us peace through life. You know, we have this idea, well, if I just removed all the problems from my life, then life would be smooth sailing and I could be a good Christian. But that's not how it works. Life is trouble. Life is problems. Life is issue. There will be unexpected events that happen in our lives. There will be unplanned tragedies. There will be unforeseen trips to the hospital. Crises and trouble are going to arise in life. But when we apply God's word to our lives, we won't panic.
Amen.
We won't say foolish things. And we won't abandon our faith. You see, through those troubles, God gets us through whatever circumstances that we have.
Amen.
That He allows, I should say. And He gives us peace. You see, these are the things, the promises God makes. There's a perspective that He produces about life. We see life as life unto my soul and grace to my neck. There's a protection that He provides. I know He's going to protect me. I don't have to worry about things. He's got this thing covered. And then there's a peace that God gives.
Amen.
So how'd you do at the test? Did you pass? Or did you fail? There's a third thing, and we're done here. Not only number one, the possibility God declares, the promises God makes. Number three, write this down. Then lastly, the person whom we must trust. Notice how he ends up this passage here. It's very, very simple. And that is this. He says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence.
Amen.
And shall keep thy foot from being taken. Life happens.
Amen.
Circumstances happen. And the only way we're going to shine as a Christian through this is if we put our confidence in God.
Amen.
And not fear man, not flee from circumstances, but fear the Lord.
Amen.
He is our confidence.
Amen.
Listen, this world is running around anxious, confused, living in fear, not knowing where to turn, crying out the world's going to end in 10 years because of climate change. I'll tell you what, if you let that stuff get to you, we will never be the Christians God saved us to be.
Amen.
And we'll never accomplish His will in this church and in our own lives. We have to place our confidence in Him. Wisdom, believing God, His Word, and applying it to our lives. And when we do, even with everything that's going on, we can have the abundant Christian life. But it only comes as we apply His wisdom to our lives. So the question is, do you have that abundant life? Or is life getting to you? The outworking of wisdom. Let's pray.